Welcome. You are listening to the Learning to Believe Again podcast with your host, Brittany Bexton.
Where do you begin when you're learning to believe again?
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today's podcast is going to be a little different. Today, I'm going to be releasing a Rhema prophetic word. So if you're not familiar with the term Rhema, what it means, R-H-E-M-A, is new revelation out of God's word. A Rhema word is like you read God's word, the Bible, and you get new revelation out of a verse. And prophetic word is prophesying into the future, but we can use God's word to prophesy into the future. So I was recently given this deeper revelation of some things in God's word, and I just wanted to share it with you to encourage you. Though it's not exactly a testimony, it is for the folks back in the Bible days. It was a testimony for them, that is for sure. So I am actually going to be mixing a few words that I've shared recently in regards to this. I released a word, a daily encouragement, on my Facebook recently talking about the Red Sea and how that encounter at the Red Sea was something I'd really been meditating on and thinking of recently. Because God brought the Israelites the long way around. He freed them from Egypt. He freed them from their slavery and their captivity. And he told them, he promised them he was leading them into the promised land. And he knew where that was. But he actually took them the long way around. And there's a verse that says he did that because he knew that if they took the short way, they would reach so much opposition that they would just turn around and go right back to slavery. But he took them the long way around. Now, God knew in that moment when he took them the long way around that they were going to be coming to this Red Sea. So as I was meditating on this verse and the parting of the Red Sea, which I'm sure you're familiar with, I thought about that and I was thinking about how God knew that he was bringing them to what seemed like a dead end for them. To them, it was a dead end, but God had other plans. So he brought them to the Red Sea. And yes, we can say that that was for God's glory. Because he knew that if he brought them to that Red Sea, he was going to part the sea and show them who he was and how powerful he was. He did that. That is part of it. There's another piece to that where God didn't just part the sea for them. He built their faith in that moment because he showed them that something so seemingly impossible as parting a sea was nothing for him and that he was fighting for them. So it was to boost their faith, to see God's goodness and to see God's glory. But something else struck me as I had been meditating on that verse. It wasn't just to show God's glory or to boost their faith. God can do that in a whole number of ways. God knew one thing for sure when he brought them to the Red Sea. He knew that their enemy would be pursuing them because the Egyptians were pursuing them. In fact, to them, when they reached that Red Sea, knowing that they were being pursued by their enemy, they thought that was it. They didn't just think they weren't going to get to the promised land. They thought they were going to die, or at the very least, end up back in slavery. They thought that God's promise had failed them. They'd been heading toward the promise of God on his word. And in that moment, they thought that God had led them to a dead end and to their death. But God's word never fails. It never returns void, and God's promises are true. And he knew that they were going to come to a place that seemed like a dead end. But God also knew that that was the one place that he could swallow up the enemy completely. You see, the Egyptians had been pursuing them. And there is a verse in Exodus 14, right before the Red Sea parts. It says, "Today you will stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord." Now, what he's referring to there is the parting of the sea. But then it says, "The enemy that you see today will never be seen again because God himself fights for you. Well, God himself was fighting for the Israelites that day. You see, he knew that if he brought them to the Red Sea, he would part it for them and show them his glory and increase their faith. But he also knew that the Red Sea, that seeming dead end to them, that seeming loss of the promise of God, the seeming death even, he knew that that was the one place that he could completely annihilate the enemy. Because that day he didn't just part the Red Sea so that they could go through it. He also killed the enemy, completely obliterated the enemy in the Red Sea. God parted the sea for the Israelites, but the hardened hearts of the Egyptians followed them into the sea, and God knew they would. But right as soon as the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea that had been parted for them, God closed the sea up and swallowed the Egyptians in the sea so that they drowned. He literally washed their enemies away in the Red Sea. And I had this revelation about that verse. There are a few verses actually that we're going to explore in Revelation and prophetically today, but that is kind of the foundation of this, because the other things that I'm going to share were building upon that. So God knew that he would completely annihilate the enemy. He didn't just want to get them ahead of their enemy. He didn't just want to give them a head start or keep leading them on with the enemy pursuing them. He wanted to annihilate the enemy so the enemy that pursued them could never pursue them again, so that that enemy would never even fight them again, because he knew where he was leading them and he knew that he was going to protect them along the way, so that every other battle they faced, they would face without an enemy pursuing them. And every other challenge they faced, they would know that God had their back. So we're going to use that as the foundation for the rest of this word. Fast forward a little bit. We're now in the times of Jesus. So, well, we're kind of crossing over from prophecy from the Old Testament into the times of Jesus. So in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that Jesus would come and he would die for our sins. It was even prophesied that he would die on the cross. In Isaiah, it specifically talks about him being on the cross and the pain and the betrayal that he suffers for us, for our sins. That's in the Old Testament, many, 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 many years before Jesus came. So that takes me to the next piece of this word, which is he knew. He knew what he was going to have to suffer before he came down from heaven into the earth. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, the most perfect place, with no sorrow, no pain, no heartache, none of that. He left heaven because he loved us so much that he was willing to suffer that unimaginable pain that he knew about ahead of time. And he did it for our sins. And it wasn't just the sins of the past. God is all knowing. He wrote the book of your life, and he knows every day in it. That means that God knows not just the days that you have already lived, not just what you're thinking now. He already knows what you're going to do in the future. And he even knows the mistakes that you're going to make or that you have made. When Jesus came to the earth to go on the cross, to suffer that unimaginable pain for you, he did it knowing every sin that you would commit, every mistake that you would make, every time you wouldn't believe in him or trust in him, every moment that you would betray him or yourself or anyone else. He did it knowing every transgression that would happen and every iniquity that you would be in. Iniquity meaning sin that you come to enjoy. Jesus came from heaven to the earth, knowing everything that you would ever do, because he loved you so much that he believed you were worth it. He would give up all of creation just for you. And he didn't just know everything you would do. He also knew what he would have to suffer. He knew every betrayal that was coming his way, every heartache, and he knew the miserable death that he would have to die on the cross for you. And he still chose to come because he loves you. He values you. That is how much he loves and values you. There is not a thing in this world that you could do that could separate you from the love of God. There is not a thing in this world that you could fail to do that would separate you from the love of God. He loves you that much to do that. You are not too far gone. You are not too far gone. Jesus loves you that much, and he knew, and he still came. So about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was doing prayer and worship time in the morning. And that thought was going through my head about Jesus knowing. And I was praying for someone specifically, but in worship. And I was just singing, God so loved you. God so loves you. God so loves you that he gave his only son. God so loves you. God so loves you that he knew everything and he still gave everything. And I'm singing this, and I'm singing this over the person and praying for them. And all of a sudden, it took me to a different place where I started thinking about, yes, what Jesus went through for us, knowing what he would have to go through in that pain. And it hit me in a deeper way. But then I started thinking about God, the Father God in heaven, who gave Jesus, his son, to suffer that for us. Now, I know that there are things in life that we suffer ourselves, but I also know people that have children that are suffering, they wish they could take the place of their children to take their pain away. And I know for me, the worst pain in the world that I have ever experienced wasn't pain that I was experiencing myself, but it was watching other people experience that pain. I'm going to use an example from my life, but I went through an abusive relationship myself. Now, when I was in it, it did hurt. There were crazy ups and downs, but it wasn't as bad because I knew exactly what I was doing and it was my choice. But I've also watched people that I care about deeply go through abuse. And to me, there is nothing more painful than watching someone you love be abused and feel helpless to do anything. Well, God, Jesus's Father, our Father God, had to watch Jesus come to this earth and be abused, tortured, betrayed, slandered, tormented, and he saw everything. He wasn't just on the outside seeing the results or the pain that Jesus showed later. He saw every moment of hurt because he sees everything. He had to watch his son suffer unimaginable pain. And God could have stopped it. We in our human capacity can't stop that for someone else, but God can. God could have stopped that for Jesus. He could have put an end to it in that one moment. He could have said, I can't take this. I don't want to watch my son be hurt this way. I can stop his pain. I can take it from him. But God didn't. Because in that moment, he knew that Jesus was doing it for you. For you. And God, Father God, loved you so much that he watched his son suffer that pain, knowing that he could stop it. And he didn't. because he knew that the result would be your freedom, that the result would be you being saved, that the result would be life abundant for you, and the result would be you in eternity with God. And he loved you so much. You are his family. You are his children too. He loved you so much. He loved us so much that he let his son suffer that pain, able to see everything just for you. And I don't know exactly what hit me in that moment, but I felt Jesus's heart, and then I felt the Father's heart for Jesus and the pain that he suffered, and for us, for you, for how much he loves us, for how much he loves you. You see, if you were the only person in the world that needed saving, God still would have done it. He loves you that much. That hit so hard. It was like a heavy glory moment, and I just felt tears well up in my eyes. That just, wow, God loves us that much. God loves this person I'm praying for that much. God loves you that much. And I continued praying, and I felt led to take communion in that moment. So I kept praying, and I grabbed the communion elements, and I kneeled down to take communion. And there's a verse I like speaking when I take communion. You see,
it says
in 1 John 3:8, "But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." And there's another translation that says, "Jesus came to this earth to destroy every work of the enemy in your life." That's what he came to do. He didn't just come to save you or give you salvation or eternity. He came to destroy every work of the enemy in your life now so that you could live free and healthy, abundant life. He brought resurrection life, but he didn't just bring life. He brought abundant life. He didn't just bring salvation. He brought healing and restoration and abundant life. So I start speaking that I know I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, and I know that Jesus came to destroy every work of the enemy in our lives. And he did it there on the cross. He accomplished what he meant to do. And then I started speaking the verse in Exodus 14 that says the enemy, just like at the Red Sea, the enemy that you see today will never be seen again. And wham, it hit me. What happened at the Red Sea wasn't just to save them, but it was to prophesy into our future and into what Jesus was going to come and do for us. It wasn't the Red Sea for no reason. It was the Red Sea, just like Jesus's red blood. Because, well, the Red Sea came and completely destroyed the enemy so that the enemy that they saw that day, they would never see again. So too does the blood of Jesus Christ come and destroy every work of the enemy in our lives, just as it says in John, 1 John 3:8. Jesus came to destroy every work of the enemy in our lives, and the blood of Jesus did that, so that the enemy that you see today, you never have to see again. So that the enemy that we fight today, we never have to fight again, because the blood of Jesus Christ acts just as the Red Sea did then, and it destroys every work of the enemy in our lives, and it obliterates the enemy. It obliterates the enemy. And I'm going to share a few more verses about the blood of Jesus Christ and what it does. As the disciples sat together, this is in Matthew 26. As the disciples sat together, Jesus said, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body." He then gave thanks and offered them the cup and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which seals the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many." He didn't just do it on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ still does it now, because God made a covenant with us that day, and the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross sealed that covenant. And when we take communion and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ still comes to destroy every work of the enemy in your life. It is still living. It is still active. It is still the covenant of God for us. And the blood of Jesus Christ is still that powerful now. In Colossians 1:20, it says, "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross." God reconciled us to him, and he made things right again. He forgave the sins of many with that one act. Ephesians 1:7. "In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." God redeems us. He redeems the things in your life that aren't working, that feel broken. He forgives sins and he gives his grace. He redeems us through his blood. He redeems us. He makes things right again. So I don't know what it is that you are battling today. I don't know what enemy that you are facing, and I don't know what needs to be redeemed in your life, and I don't know what place that you've gotten to that you feel like is a dead end. But I do know that the testimony of the Israelites at the Red Sea can be yours too, because God's promises are true. They are yes and amen. God fulfills every single promise he ever made. And the promises that you're standing for and fighting for and believing for are not only still possible, they are still true. God is still keeping them for you. He is still keeping them for you. He is still fulfilling those promises for you. And just like the Israelites came to the Red Sea and they thought it was a dead end and they thought it was over and they thought the promise of God was a lie, God doesn't lie. God doesn't change his mind. They came to what they thought was a dead end, but God parted the sea for them and he swallowed the enemy and destroyed the enemy and annihilated the enemy once and for all in the very sea that he parted for the Israelites. Well, you have the same testimony now because the blood of Jesus Christ still works for you the way it worked for the Israelites at the Red Sea. We have a promise sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ drowns, annihilates, and destroys the enemy, taking them out forever. So whatever it is that you are believing for in your life, know that God is big enough. God is greater than any challenge you face. God's promises are true. And just as he destroys the enemy by the blood of Jesus and destroys every work of the enemy in your life through the blood of Jesus, so too does he make a way to the promise because he led them into the promised land. Even with every detour, his promise never failed. He promised that he would take them into the promised land, and he did. And his promises to you are true too. So just as the Red Sea prophesied what Jesus would do on the cross for us, let the blood of Jesus prophesy into your life and your promises. Let it prophesy death to the enemy. Let it prophesy defeat of the enemy. Let it prophesy your rescue from the enemy. Let it prophesy the pathway through whatever that dead end might be in your life that is not a dead end, because nothing is impossible for God, and he makes a way where there is no way, and the blood of Jesus parts a way for you. So let what he did prophesy into your life now, into your situations now, into your relationships and career and promises now. That's it. I just want to leave you with that today, you guys. And I'm going to leave you with the nugget that God's promises are true. Keep standing on the promise of God, no matter what it looks like. And I want to give you this as a prayer point. Take communion. Maybe take it today with this episode. Maybe start taking it regularly. But whatever situation you're believing God for a shift in, plead the blood of Jesus Christ into that situation. War with the word of God. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you next week.
I'm good.